We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tremendous program, tremendous football team. They got two really tough losses in which they played two really good football teams and played them right down to the wire. But they've got a tremendous program. Gus has done a great job. He's playing with a freshman quarterback who I think is going to be a really talented player in this league for a long time.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. That's the voice of Kirby Smart talking about Auburn, singing their praises, and I think rightfully so. Like, I know they've got two losses, so you get out of the national championship conversation, but that doesn't mean you're not a good team.
They're a good football team. They're a good, tough, hard-nosed football team. And like me and Spike just talking, man, strange things happen on them planes. John Freaky's been saying it all week. It's just something about when Georgia goes down there, man.
You know, I want to talk about that because Takiyo is still with us here in studio. Takiyo Spike's hanging out in the Kia Studios talking about this football game coming up on Saturday. You guys both played in this game a handful of times. What is the strangest thing that happened on the planes when you were playing in this game? Because, I mean, look, the prayer at Jordan-Hare and the kick six, there's all kinds of crazy history. What about in games you guys played?
I know
played
the last time we were down there, and I remember Terrence played everything, and Terrence was coming around on a quarterback sweep. And on the sideline, his foot, the toe was inbound, but his heel, it didn't go out of bounds. It went across, but it never went out of bounds. He scores, we go up, and we're going to win the football game. They called him out. And then also I remember, you know, Michael Johnson catch that he had to send us to the SEC title. That was Coach Rick's first one. And, of course, we're riding high. We just beat Florida. We're riding high. We're going to the Sugar Bowl, everything. This is Hines and Robert senior year. And then they come in, and my man, DeMontre Carter,
yep,
true freshman. We were at Auburn on our visit together. Goes crazy. Now, dude, big. He about the same size as you, Andy.
That's a big guy then.
Ran it by, yeah. Ran it like 32 times, and they just
really
32 times against us and beat.
What about you, Takiyo? Crazy memories from this game?
You know what? I think a lot of people should remember this one. We now know of the overtime rule, to where you.
Oh yeah.
So I was actually in that game to where college football decided to change the rules because of that game. I want to say we played in like six.
I think it was five
overtimes,
yeah,
right?
I think it was five overtimes.
I have never been so tired in my life. But throughout this game, let me tell you this, though. This was the good thing. It was Robert Edwards.
Remember, he didn't start that game.
He didn't start that game.
Remember, he didn't start that game.
Which was BS. And he ended up coming in to play. And he was the reason why not only did they come back, but they came back and won that football game. But the thing I remember is going up against Larry Brown. They threw a pass in the flat to Larry Brown. And I was like, I am about to knock him out. I came full head, full of steam. Larry ducked his head and I ducked mine at the same time. How about both of us left the game with a concussion off of that play? This was like in the
It was the
first overtime or something?
Yeah, because I remember being at home watching that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being at home watching that game.
It was like the first overtime. I knocked him out. He went out. I went back and played a snap. We got off the field. Next thing I knew, two overtimes had passed, and I finally came to, and I was like, what's going on? And they were like, man, you were knocked out. You've been out for the last two overtimes. So I couldn't believe it, and I was trying to remember.
Hang on, out like you were on the sideline, or out you were playing, you just don't remember playing?
No, I went back to play one snap.
Okay.
After we finished that series, I got to the sideline, and I guess they knew, like, something is wrong with Spikes. And so I missed two overtime periods, two series, because I was knocked out. I went back into the game, finished that game, don't even know how. I don't even remember probably the end part of that game, but – I do remember Georgia walking away with the win, and we had to go and play Alabama the next week. That's one of my fondest memories because, you know, you got people who are in state in Alabama who look at the Auburn-Alabama game, that's the Iron Bowl.
Right.
That was somewhat for the guys who are from the state of Georgia who played on Auburn. That was our Iron Bowl somewhat, you know?
You know how tough of a football player you have to be to have one of your fondest memories be something that you only half remember?
Dude,
you have to be so crazy.
That ain't no different than getting drunk and having a hangover the next day.
I've got plenty of those. I don't know if it makes me tough, but I got plenty of those stories.
I remember that game because I remember I was a senior in high school. I was watching on TV because I was trying to decide if I wanted to go to Georgia. And that ultimately was like, oh, yeah.
We lost Randy McMichael because of that game.
No, y'all didn't. You know, you wanted to come to Georgia all along. We couldn't afford you. We know that. You know, it's no shame. We know that, you know, he wanted to come to Georgia. But, you know, it just went down like
maybe
that.
Maybe y'all could afford me. You just decided not to.
Oh, that's what it was.
It was a salary cap issue or something like that.
All jokes, man.
Hey, Takiyo, when you watch Derrick Brown play, who does he remind you of, if anybody?
That's a great question. I respectfully say this, not putting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen only person with his type of power and his size, he reminds me so much of a young Reggie White, of his power.
Wow.
I'm not saying that he is the next Reggie White, but I'm just saying when you look at his size, I don't know, maybe what is he, 6'4", mm-hmm. 6'5", like 320 mm-hmm. pounds, you can't block him with two men. I remember seeing the video and the picture going viral when we played LSU a month ago. And they were holding him. And they even highlighted it during the game. Like, this dude is so powerful. And to see him continue to develop, come back for his last year of football, because I had an opportunity to speak with him before the season. And I asked him, I said, why did you come back when you knew you didn't have to? He was like, man, my mom and dad, they wanted to make sure I get my education. And they felt like it would be in my best interest to go back and finish and also increase my draft status. And I'm happy to see that he's doing that. But when I look at him as a player, I just think he's powerful. He no question, he'll be definitely a top five pick easily.
Another guy who left the state of Georgia too. Auburn came in here and got Derrick Brown too.
I mean, that's the one thing about Auburn that I always remember is that there were so many Georgia players on Auburn.
For real?
So many. And I was like, okay. Because I remember Ms. Black. We used to go down to see Ms. Black, and Ms. Black used to help us with our ACTs and everything. So we would get to hang out with those guys at the dorm all the time. And everybody you saw was from Georgia. Like, how the hell y'all get out of Georgia? But back then, we weren't good. We just called it. We was all right.
No stability.
Yeah.
I think Ray Goff, y'all had I remember coming out, it was like four different defensive coordinators. And that was the thing for me. I wanted that stability. You know, when I came in, you want it to be black and white when you're 18, 17, 18 years old. If I ask you a question, I need to see what side of the fence you're on. And I remember the biggest thing for me was, like, where do you see me playing? Because, I played tight end as well. And I played defensive end versus the stand-up linebacker. So I asked, and, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, we definitely see you. Like, you could play anywhere you want to. I'm like, nah, that still ain't telling me. That's simple my thought process.
Right.
Now that's a compliment.
Sure.
Back then, I looked at it as if, nah, if you can't tell me, well, I need to know something.
How do you – so when we look at this football game this Saturday, two really good defenses, obviously, right? Where do you see the advantage if one of these two teams has one on the defensive side of the ball?
I love both defenses.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even lie about it. And – you know, if I'm not looking at Auburn, I'm always kind of looking to see what Georgia's doing. I truly have to give the nod to Auburn. And the reason why is this. I just think it's something special about playing at home.
Mm.
And once you can get the crowd into the game, even though the crowd or nobody from the audience has never made a tackle, but that noise, the momentum that you can create. And I'll be honest with you. I've seen a lot of defenses that Auburn has had in the previous years. Even going back to when I've played, this probably is the best defense that I've seen come through Auburn since maybe that 2004 season to where they had Carlos Dansby.
Mm-hmm. Was Fairley on there?
Yep.
Fairley. I don't, yeah, they were. They were
Fairley came a little – he was a little later after that. But – So
McNeil. Yeah, McNeil.
Marco McNeil.
Yeah, Marco, yes.
So it's just these guys, Junior Rose Green, all of those guys. So when I look at it, probably the most dominant defense since that 04 defense.
When you look at the SEC as a whole, and we know about everybody overreacts to the college football playoff committee and all that, and you see LSU is one, Georgia is four. When you look at where Auburn is as a program, how much confidence do you have in Gus Bus that he can get y'all back there?
I think – all right, that's a very good question. I've never been asked that question before, but I'm going to answer it. It's I believe in Gus, and the reason why is because he's taken us there before.
Right.
Now, I think what's the difference is with Gus is that, like, truly, I don't too much care for the offense.
Okay.
You know, I don't. The reason why is I'm not a fan of when you have somebody like Bo Nix and you know his father played the game and you know he's been taught the game how to read defenses, understanding where the hot topic or the hot person is coming when he's blitzing. I don't like when quarterbacks, and it's not just Auburn or just Gus, it's just a lot of college football teams, they look to the sideline to get the play from the coach. Man, you are chaining, you are choking his development. You're not letting him develop. You're not teaching him the right thing to do, putting him, giving the keys to the Ferrari to him to let him drive. And so that's what I don't like.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that I don't like, sometimes you just got to line up and hit somebody in the damn mouth. I ain't trying to see these reverses. I ain't trying to see the double pass. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what, Georgia Bulldogs? We gonna get right here on this 1 yard line, and I want you to give me your chin, and I'm gonna give you mine, and we gonna slap each other and see who won't stay standing.
The slap contest.
The slap contest.
I forgot who somebody was on with us when we were talking about Auburn, and he's like, he thought Gus made a mistake because this team was so veteran laden, so many seniors, and then you put a freshman quarterback in that situation. And do you feel the same way? Because that's what I mean. It made us think for
They've
a minute.
They've got championship components.
They got championship components,
and you put a true freshman
in there.
Yeah, and I've heard that, but this is one thing I can say. I think that's kind of disrespectful to Gus, one, but it's disrespectful to Bo Nix. Let's not forget what this young man did the first game of the year.
Yeah.
Went down to Dallas and brought this team back.
He'll be one of my favorites forever.
Big
for
time fourth down conversion. So
that ain't
by accident. You know, so what I say is, do I believe in Gus? Am I going to ride with Gus? Of course I'm going to ride with Gus. But at the end of the day, my preference is, in order to take advantage of a championship defense, what we have, I would like to see a little bit more hard nose. Let's go. I know you know that we're running it. Can you stop it?
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you in. Tell us one more time about the podcast real quick.
Hey, make sure you guys follow me at Taquio Spikes on 51 on every social media channel. When it comes to the Behind the Mask, the podcast is at the BTM, at the BTM podcast. It's on all platforms, including YouTube. Great podcast. We just released another one this morning. Jamal Lewis, Super Bowl champion.
Wow.
That sounds great.
He got some great footage on there, so I highly encourage everybody to go subscribe, share, and listen to quality conversations.
Taquio Spikes.
Appreciate it, bro.
We appreciate it, man. Randy's going to the Philippines next week. You want to come back and hang out for a week?
Randy, you better bring me back some goodies.
I got you, man. Hey, the Falcons Flyaway code word today is Falcons with an S. Make sure you tune in to Dukes and Bell at 4 o'clock and call in with the code word once you hear the contest sounder for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Falcons versus Jacksonville game on December 2nd. Plus, you will automatically enter the grand prize drawing of the Falcons Flyaway trip to San Francisco when the Falcons take them on December 15th. The trip includes airfare, hotel, gift card, and tickets to the game. It's brought to you by Coca-Cola. Try the new festive Coca-Cola Cinnamon.
That's a long read.
Yeah, man.
That's a really long read.
But, make sure y'all tune in. Falcons with an S at 4 o'clock on Dukes of Bell. Listen for the sounder.
All right, we'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle after this. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Zach!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Thanks again to Taquio Spikes.
Appreciate you, man.
For all the time he spent with us today. That was great, getting ready for the Georgia-Auburn game. on Saturday afternoon at 3:30, yeah. Which Randy is going to have to watch in an airplane.
Yeah, man, it's going to be trying. But I can watch like the first. I can watch the first half probably, and then maybe the first quarter, then listen to the game and getting to the airport and watch it on my phone and all that. But I'll be all right.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do because we're going to the Georgia State.
What time is that game?
It's at 7:30.
Okay, so you can watch the first half.
I can watch the first half, right. And then hopefully at the tail because we're going to go down there and tailgate.
Right.
Hopefully somebody at the tailgate will have a TV, I would imagine.
Of course. And speaking of Georgia State and App State, we got some tickets that we're going to give away in the 12 o'clock hour, so make sure y'all stay tuned to that.
The Wendy Zone coming up in 15 minutes. A late edition of the NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Let's start here with the Falcons and what Dan Quinn says about the Panthers quarterback situation.
What I think they do, and like most good teams do, is featuring the players in their best ways. So McCaffrey has a bigger role, DJ Moore has a bigger role, and those two players in conjunction with a new quarterback, how are they featured maybe differently? And so I would say different style, you know, at quarterback, obviously, especially in some of those situations, but utilizing different players in the, you know, in different ways.
Yeah, they've absolutely altered their offense,
yeah.
And rightfully so. Like, a healthy Cam Newton, when he's healthy, gives you the opportunity to do all kinds of stuff offensively that most quarterbacks don't. An injured Cam Newton, unfortunately, when he was injured, basically meant you couldn't do anything on offense because he wanted to do a lot of the same stuff, but he couldn't do it. And now you got Kyle Allen, and you're just kind of training wheels on him, which I think is smart. You know a guy who I know Christian McCaffrey is going to get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. Pains me to say this.
Greg
Olsen.
Yeah.
Greg Olsen's a big deal this weekend.
That's the thing with a young quarterback, when you have a tight end like Gio, man, because he's still playing at such a high level. And the one thing about it, he don't drop nothing. He doesn't drop anything, and being a tight end in that offense is so much fun because he gives you so many options on so many different routes. And the thing with Kyle Allen is that they haven't asked him to do too much. You know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't have to. Because when you're able to run the football like that, it sets up so many things. I think they use Curtis Samuels in a lot of different variety of ways. You have Moore as the outside guy. So Ian Thomas, the other tight end from Indiana,
right.
Who I loved him coming out of the draft, kid out of Indiana. So, I mean, they got playmakers. But that's not going to beat you. They're playmakers on the outside. It's all about 22.
Yeah, it is.
It's about 22. Now, what I mean by that is – if you make them one dimensional, take away 22, you got them. But if you give them the option that he got both of those, you're in trouble.
Speaking of the running back position, obviously we know Christian McCaffrey will be the guy for Carolina. It will not be Devontae Freeman this weekend for the Falcons. He's out for a couple of weeks. Still don't have definitive news or an answer on Austin Hooper. They got the report yesterday that it might be a month, and then Dan Quinn said, well, that's not our report. We don't know how long it's going to be. Austin Hooper, I'm not counting on this week.
Right.
And I wouldn't count on next week either. We'll see after that.
That was a nasty-looking injury.
It was. It was gross-looking. We know that Devontae won't be here. Brian Hill will be. Here's Brian Hill about this weekend.
I've been preparing like I'm a starter since the season started. So all that work that I've been putting in is going to come into fruition this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he looks like as the lead running back, as the guy who gets to start the game, play one quarter one. And he had a nice game in the second half last week, scored a touchdown and did his job.
He was fine. And then I'm assuming that you're going to see Quadri Allison. You're going to get a chance to see him run the football a little bit behind that first team line. But, yeah, I mean, this is a big moment for Brian because we haven't known who he is since he's been drafted out of Wyoming. You remember his rookie year, we're like,
and well, they released him.
They released him, went to Cincinnati,
came back.
So it's like, you just don't know. So now he's going to get his opportunity right now. And with Matt Ryan still not being 100% on that ankle, they're going to have to rely on the run game. And I think when he was on with us yesterday, he said the key is like they ran the ball and they stuck with it. And that was the biggest thing. They stuck with the run because – all the runs weren't big runs. I mean, outside that first drive, but they would just kept going and kept grinding and kept grinding the run game.
And I'm not trying to, like, kick dirt on Devontae Freeman's Falcons career or anything like that. I don't know what the future holds for him and the Falcons. I think it's reasonable to project that he might not be here next year.
Right.
I know they had an offer for him at the deadline. They didn't take the offer because they figured Devontae gave him the best chance to win in the second half of the season. And Devontae was actually really good at the beginning of the game against the Saints before he got banged up. Don't know how long he's going to be out. Sounds like it's going to be a couple weeks. But let's just work or answer this question on the idea that maybe Devontae isn't here next season. Is Brian Hill potentially auditioning?
Yes, he is. And that's the thing about it. That he is auditioning for just a job here. Just stay here. Because you never know what's going to happen as far as who's coming in, what's their preference and things. And the thing with the running back is that you can find him any round. I think that's what people have learned about that position. And the longevity isn't that long of a running back in the NFL. So I'm happy for Brian Hill, and hopefully he does his thing, because there's nothing like opportunity.
Speaking of opportunity and audition, I guess, Colin Kaepernick is going to work out for at least 7 teams this weekend at Flowery Branch. Again, no one knows. Like, there's just a lot of mystery surrounding this entire event. I don't know why it's at Flowery Branch. I don't know why the NFL decided to do it now. I don't know why they contacted him and told him he had 2 hours to decide whether to do it or not. I don't know why they're not telling his people what teams are going to be attending. Now, there's been a report from Adam Schefter and others that it'll be the Falcons, and Falcons will be there because it's Falcons training facility.
Right, right, right.
The Cowboys, the Lions, the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Giants, and the Patriots. Okay.
Here's the thing, Bonk. I think, you know, first of all, the NFL teams are cowards, because if you wanted to see him, y'all could have had him in for an individual workout.
It's true.
And then you look at the NFL as a whole. I think they were just, you know what, I'm tired of y'all calling us. So this we're going to do. We're going to do this for Colin. My thing is, I think the NFL thought that he would say no. I truly think that they thought he would say no because of the fact that it's what you said, the 2 hours, it's going to be on a Saturday.
What if he would have been at a movie?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I
honestly think the NFL thought he was going to say no.
Interesting.
But it's a good thing for Colin, you know, for him to get to showcase his talent. And even though other teams won't be there, he will. They'll videotape it and all that. And like I said, they couldn't videotape before. Why now? My biggest thing is why now? And a lot of teams, me and he were talking about it, and people, I was listening to a couple guys on TV, and they're thinking, they think that he'll have a job. It may not be for this season, but it'll be next season or something like that. I made a firm stance once he opted out of his contract in San Francisco. I said, Colin will never play again in the NFL. They will not let him back in this league, and it won't be anything performance-based. But now it seems like why did the NFL bring this back up? Because it was hush.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hush.
For all intents and purposes, as much as you disagree with it or agree with it, it had kind of gone away.
It did go away.
They settled with Colin Kaepernick, and he's kind of gone.
Yeah, but now, you know, he's back, and hopefully he gets an opportunity, because that's basically all he wanted was opportunity. And it's like, oh, he's just competing for a backup job. Well, it's bigger than that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a lot bigger than that.
And I think you and I understand that.
Yeah, but I think he's going to do well. I think he's going because it's a combine workout. He's a damn athlete.
It's a pro day.
It's a pro day. So right? He's going to throw the ball. I don't know who's going to be the receivers and all that. My thing is watch the NFL and watch him. Don't let them try and be slick up there. And if he misses a throw, and that's the only video you show is him missing that one throw. So just watch it. And still, it's in 2 days. I'm still not 100% it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Interesting.
I'm happy for Colin, because this is what he's been asking for. And this is, you know, like I said, I think the NFL thought he would say no. But here's the thing. This is the opportunity, because it's been 3 years since you've been in front of an NFL team.
Right. I mean, to me, this puts to bed a couple different things. Like, yeah, he wants to play. Okay. There was some thought that, well, if he really wanted to play, he'd do this, this, and this. Okay. So he's meeting the NFL not halfway. This is not halfway. He's meeting the NFL on their terms to try to get back into the league. So, okay, good. What I want to know, obviously there's so many layers to this and so many different important parts of this. Has the NFL as a league ever scheduled a mid-season workout for a veteran player who's been out of the league for X amount of years out of nowhere?
No.
It's so weird.
It's just weird.
It's such a bizarre situation.
And you know, other guys like our guy Spoon, former the Falcons, his tweet. I mean, he has a point.
What'd he say?
Basically about, well, hell, what about me? I've been out of the league 3 years.
Right. Where's my workout?
You know
what I mean?
But it is special circumstances. So we'll see.
It certainly is.
The Atlanta Hawks return to the State Farm Arena against the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday, November 20th for Peachtree Night. Tip-off is at 7:30. 2 Chainz will perform during halftime and postgame. Pre-order your Peachtree gear today at hawks.com/Peachtree.
I like those jerseys.
Don't.
You don't like them?
They're not my favorite.
I think it would look cool on a black hoodie sweatshirt with the peach tree written in that color. I think it's peach, right? The color is peach. That would make sense. Anyway, the Wendy Zone coming up next, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
Oh! All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Boom shakalaka.
We're adding that to the intro.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy and John Fricke for one word. Time for the Wendy Zone. Wendy, you did something on Twitter today.
Oh, yeah.
That is highly uncomfortable.
What the heck happened?
What do you mean highly uncomfortable?
Well, you asked people for their least favorite words,
well,
right?
Yes, because Randy didn't know he said it, but during y'all's first segment of the show, discussing football, and he was talking about like big athletes, but he used the word girth.
Girthy.
Girthy.
Like you say, multiple times.
You say girth and girthy a lot, Randy.
I do?
No, you just did in the first segment.
Brian says, I say girthy a lot.
Yeah, you say girth a lot. No,
from
Andy
time to
does.
Time I say it?
Yes.
Okay, well,
a lot more
every
than
so often.
Than is comfortable, but just because that it's the word. There's certain words that when you hear them, they're just gross sounding.
Yeah, like word association.
Well, like brothy is one of those words.
Is it,
girth.
Is it,
moist.
Well, if y'all would grow up.
Ointment. Ointment.
If y'all would just grow up.
I refuse to grow up.
All right? And let me, you know.
Mucus.
Like what?
Secrete.
Oh!
I don't like that one at all.
I mean, so if you have any words that you want to add to the list, you can find my Twitter.
Or you can do it at
Wendy Radio.
At the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
There was a bad one. There was a bad one a minute ago. A seepage.
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 Like, what? Like, the. Look at. Spencer. What? Spencer, stop being mannish. All right? Moist.
But why?
Come on,
someone
man.
Someone goes saints.
What's the term for a word like that? I'm sure there is one because, you know, like, the words that sound like what they describe as onomatopoeia, right? Like bam or
yeah.
Something is onomatopoeia. What is the term for that? Like, a
word. I don't think there is one because when I Googled
makes
it.
Makes you feel a certain way when you hear
you're
it.
You're just grossed out when you hear
gross.
It.
It's like gross
it
words.
It gives you, like, the heebie jeebies. Like, I don't know. It's like the inside, like, goosebumpy feeling.
Randy does not get that feeling when he hears any of these words.
No, because it is what it is. Y'all know what I meant when I said girth.
Well, that didn't do it
I
for me.
I was talking about the big guy.
I know you were.
Okay.
But for me, that's.
I
like,
didn't think about it at
never
all.
Never mind. You know what?
But for me, it's just one of those words.
You're
just
like.
Oh, boy.
Brian Gebhardt just went home. He just got up and went home.
All right, the segment's done. I'm gone,
oh,
too.
Oh, God.
No, but we should talk about a sports story because I find this story fascinating only because I want to know what the outcome is going to be and how Major League Baseball is going to deal with it.
Mm.
Have you seen the story? It came out yesterday. The Athletic published a story about the Houston Astros in 2017. A whole bunch of accusations that they were sign-stealing, but they used a camera in the outfield, and then that camera would relay back to a TV in the Astros dugout, and it would be right across from, like, where players would get, like, massages or, like, work out their injuries.
Yeah.
And then, so when they would steal the signs, they would make a loud banging noise, whether it was a fastball or it was a off-speed pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating because all these videos are now coming out about it from back in 2017, and they're being posted, and you can hear the banging when off-speed pitches happen. So I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to deal with it. But what's funny is Jeopardy. So Jeopardy, the same day the story came out, Jeopardy actually had this clue. And I don't. Jeopardy's filmed months in advance.
Right.
And this story came out yesterday. And this was a clue on Jeopardy yesterday.
This sneaky, alliterative baseball action has been done using a telescope, 1951, and an Apple Watch in 2017. Steven.
Oh, what is stealing signs?
Yes.
So it's just a weird coincidence that
it
would
is
come
a weird
out
coincidence.
On the same day. But I'm just wondering how Major League Baseball, because now there's a bunch of evidence. They're obviously investigating
yeah.
the sign stealing, but it's the same year they won the World Series. And I'm wondering if they would take that World Series title away.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they do because
it
seems obvious.
I was curious about that, too. But I don't think they will.
I don't know.
You would have to, especially
no.
if you did it in the playoff series and you did it in the World Series.
Right.
Well, what happens?
I don't think they will.
So if they don't, and they are found to have done this, because the evidence in that video
is overwhelming.
There's dude, more than one.
That dude John Boy put together is very well done. That is blatant and bold
yeah.
and almost lazy, like that
it's
they were doing
crazy.
It so obviously. But so say they don't. Say they find them guilty of doing this.
Sure.
And I heard Bo Morgan on with Dukes and Bell yesterday compare it to Spygate. I think it's a great comparison.
It is a good comparison.
It's a great comparison.
But did they take anything from New England?
They took draft picks. Oh, okay. And I think they took money.
Did they take the ring?
They did not.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
But say
I think they'll be fine and stuff like that. They're not going to take that championship.
What's also interesting to me is, like, everybody knows that you steal signs one way or another. Like, somebody's on second base. You take your lead, you pull your pant leg, whatever. Like, you're telling the batter, okay, here comes a curveball.
Sure, but that's when you're on second base.
I know, but it's weird, though, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, it is different. But it's also accepted. Like, we accept cheating in some ways, but then in other ways, cheating isn't okay, which is just weird to me because it does seem like a gray area. Now, I know that it's in the rule book that you can't use technology. The Apple Watch was cheating. This is clearly video cheating. But, like, what's the difference between different types of cheating? Like, everyone, they're cheating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are you cheating because you figured out the sign? No, you're not.
No, I don't think that is, but I think it's cheating. Like, if you know that a guy is going to throw you a fastball on a 0-2 pitch or something, because he always does and you've studied, I think that's different than the guy on second base telling you that he's about to throw a curveball because he just saw the sign.
Oh, no.
You don't?
No. Okay. No. I believe in the part where the technology you can't use, but as far as if you can sit there and you can figure out somebody's sign by just looking, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one. Okay. It's the actual videotaping of it.
Then
banging on stuff in order to let the batter know.
It's the loudest bang. Like, come on.
You're sitting there like,
it's so obvious.
What y'all doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty raggedy.
I'm just going to be very interested to see what Major League Baseball does with it, because there are former players that also came out and said that, yes, they did that in 2017.
But it's also one of those things, too, where, like, probably more than one team is doing it. I guess they're caught doing it. They get penalized. The Braves got hammered so hard for that international. Like, John Coppolella is literally banned from baseball for doing something that every team does.
He can't come to no baseball.
He can't go to the game.
Dude. When I saw that, he got banned.
Banned to, like, go to games?
He went Pete Rose and...
I think.
What's the guy? The fixer.
Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Jones Jackson, yeah. Like, there's three people.
Right.
Three.
And Shoeless Joe's dead.
Yeah, so it's two.
Pete Rose can't go to games.
Pete Rose, I mean...
And John Coppolella. They got to go to the sports bar and watch together.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Just crazy. Well, we have a new sexiest man alive. Sorry, guys.
Andy Bunker.
Did not get it.
All right.
He did not get it.
Who is
it? People's newest sexiest man alive is John Legend.
Really?
So it was Blake Shelton last year, and it's John Legend this year. I think he's pretty good looking. So he is now on the cover of this issue of People magazine. So congratulations to John Lennon.
I mean,
or John Legend.
I mean,
John Lennon.
He can sing good.
Oh, dude. His Pandora channel is the joint, man.
The great music.
Yeah.
Great musician.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And Chrissy Teigen's.
Chrissy Teigen's. Amazing looking.
Yeah, she amazing looking in the face. She needs some biscuits.
Oh, she does?
She's thin. She's skinny. Yeah, she's beautiful in the face. She's skinny. She ain't got enough meat for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need a little more meat on the bones.
More biscuits.
Couple four pieces.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I always, I remember when John Legend's first album came out, like the way, way, way back when.
Yeah.
And I think he was on the cover of it or whatever, and I saw him perform.
Yeah.
And I always, and I don't know how to really say this otherwise, so I'll just say what my thought process was.
Whoa.
That's an interesting looking guy. Like, I didn't think to myself, that's a great looking guy. But I thought to myself, that's an interesting looking guy.
Dude, John can go. But yeah, his Pandora channel, this is a bad man.
His hairline has remained, like, the same. It's kind of far back there, but it hasn't receded.
John Legend?
Yeah, it's there. Like.
See, this is what makes him real attractive.
Yeah, great.
Dude, I wish I could sing.
That'd be great. Well,
to play with piano.
You wouldn't be able to tell me nothing if I could sing. I'd be just walking around singing to folks. You wouldn't think I would start a doo-wop group.
You'd sing
around a piano.
All your opinions on this show
all
would
day.
Be sung.
All day, dude.
Who's going to win, Auburn or Georgia?
Georgia. Yeah, all day.
That'd be amazing.
You sound just like John Legend, Randy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the entire world to kick off the noon hour. And if you think I make bad dad jokes, you got to hear the dad joke that Scott Boras made yesterday. It is an all-timer. We'll get to that and more coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All of me loves all of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.